Hello, we are here for office hours. They're bonus office hours to answer up any related questions or strategies around your people plan. And it's just kind of to clean up, make sure that you have your what you need to execute, to implement the work that you've done here. Ahead of time, I have questions from Peggy, who couldn't be on the call, Mary, Eve, Melinda, and Leslie. And I want to see if there's anyone else on this call that knows they have a question currently. Mandy and Sandy and Laurie. Okay. Hang on just a second. It's good to know how much time to allot for everything. Anyone else? Linda. Okay. All right. And if you do have questions, just throw them into chat and we will try to get into it. And actually, if you have questions that you just want the whole group to answer, you can throw them into chat too. So I'm going to go down my list. And in the order that I received them, actually, what I'm going to do, no, I'm going to go down my list in the order of who is here. So, in case they want to hop off, I can do that. So, I'm going to go to Eve and then Melinda, let me know when you're done with your dinner. I'm going to go to Eve and then Leslie. So, Eve, your question is, and y'all unmute so that we can talk. Not everyone, but when you have a question that when I want to talk to you, unmute yourself. You have a question and that you are thinking about announcing your new work in progress.
Right.
And you said, would it be weird to do announce new work in progress when they're not all finished? But then you kind of answered your question. You said you don't want to wait.
Yeah. I mean, from my point of view, I definitely want to do it now. I just don't want somebody to say, well, why is she giving me, telling me about something half done? But it's not like it's one piece that's half done. It's the sequence that's half done. I just wanted to be sure that a curator sort of person might say, boy, she's slow, or why is she doing this now?
I don't think a curator would say, boy, she's slow.
Okay.
It is unusual to do that. But it doesn't mean, I mean, everything's different these days. It doesn't mean you can't do it. And your work is slow anyway, right? It's not,
Yeah, I mean, it's been, yeah,
it's
but
time
part is the
intensive.
right.
Yeah. And I think anyone that looks at the work would understand that. So I'm not sure that you would say new work in progress. I think you might say new series. And
Okay.
then is it a whole page on your website?
Yes, I did make a special page for it.
Okay. So then I would say on that page you would show the work that's finished and then talk about what you're continuing to work on. So
Yeah.
you don't need to on the postcard emphasize that it isn't done yet. You know what I
Okay,
mean?
good. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So, and I don't think it matters that much, but I think that I just like I just like that framing better
Okay.
for some
I
reason.
can do that. I realized I was hesitating about sending this out because I felt like I didn't have enough to show yet, but I really wanted to be in touch with these people. So I think this will work.
Great. Anything
Thanks.
else about that?
Nope.
Thank
That's the.
you. And Leslie.
So I'm not muted, right?
You're not
Yeah.
muted.
Okay, thanks. So you may remember, I'm pretty sure you remember, we met with each other, I think it was 10 years ago in
At
Lake
least, at
Prince
least.
Harry, which is a place in Florida for those of you who don't know. And Allison went there for a couple of days and met with people in person, which was so much fun to finally meet in person. And we brought all of our issues to her in person. And it was terrific. And I asked her, like, why in the world are you going to Lake Frigging Mary? Because, you know, I live here. So I knew there was like nothing.
You said the other F word. Yeah.
We've been joking about it for 10 years. But my question is related to that, but also related to something else. So I love the last couple of days of the People Plan. You know, I'm a very experienced and fairly successful artist. And yet, you know, I learned a lot of new things. So it was really terrific. You know, I have a lot of those tools in place. I just don't really have, I'm not really clear about it, but now I am. So thank you for that. So I've been making my living mostly locally. There's a lot of money in the Tampa Bay area in Florida, and I've had a really good following, and it's really wonderful. I have a fear that I may have saturated my particular market, although there's people who are buying $8.5 million condos every other day, and I don't know who they are. So I haven't given up on the local market. But I am very interested in doing something similar to what I did when you and I met in Lake Mary, which is I want to go on some scouting trips to other locations outside of Florida, probably. Mm-hmm. My question for that is, because I just secured representation a year ago with a gallery that's 3 hours away from me, and man, I have spent a lot of time in my car, I've spent a lot of money on hotels, you know, I spent a lot of money on shipping, so, uh-huh. So am I going to multiply that every time I have representation somewhere else besides the local area? And do you have any, and more importantly than that, because I'm willing to make the effort and spend the money if it's worth it, but more important than that, I don't know if you have some advice about how to have a little edge because I'm not there. So how do I form a relationship with those other galleries mostly so that I have a high place in their pecking order?
All right. So that is a loaded question that I'm going to try to answer in 2 minutes. All right. So it deserves a lot more thought than that. So it is a, you know, you are right that it's an additional expense when you expand, and you don't know if it's going to be worth it until it happens. You have no idea which galleries are going to pay off for you. You've been in business long enough and you have enough relationships that you can probably, you know, you have a sense. A lot of new artists probably wouldn't have that sense, and they're just happy to have representation, so they jump on it. But I suspect that you're going to be very choosy, and I'm not worried about that with you. How do you have an edge when you're not local is hard, because you can't show up for their shows. You can't, you know, support the other artists there, whatever. But what you can do is you can promote them on social media whenever you can. So, and that is, you know, a big plus is, you know, make sure they're on your website, promote their posts and the shows that they're having on social media, stay in touch with them. Send them, actually, there's a blog post on my blog somewhere from Elizabeth St. Hilaire that is about her making cookies for her gallerists. She would ship her chocolate chip cookies to her gallerists, and they just loved her for it. And by the way, that is for anyone looking for galleries or working with a gallery, gallerists love food because they can't get out of the gallery. They're stuck in the gallery all day during open hours. So take your gallerist some food. They're another gallerist in Santa Fe told me that. So, you know, just keep up the relationship is the best I can say. What other part of your question really needs an answer right now? I mean, there's not, what do you really need an answer for right now?
Yeah, that was my main concern. You know, I guess, you know, with the People Plan, I think I'm pretty well situated to see if in fact I can somehow find those other art patrons in the Tampa Bay area whom I don't know yet. So, you know, that's almost as hard a task as, you know, expanding to different markets. But I like your answers, and I think it's, a great way. So I help them to have a presence, and I honor them by promoting their posts.
Yeah. Yeah. And you might want to right now make sure you're doing that for any current galleries that you have, so that if a new potential gallery goes and looks at your, well, your stories kind of disappear, but you know, they can see that you're supporting your galleries and your social media.
Well, so. I guess I don't want to be selfish, but as long as I have you, I'll ask you. I've been told, I have an assistant who comes once a week, and she's young and she's very talented in technology. And she said, you should be posting something every single day on Instagram. Is that true, Allison?
I'm not going to answer. I don't love feeding the algorithm. I sure haven't posted in a week, but I have clients who post every day and don't do well. And I said, try posting every other day instead. If it's not working, don't keep doing the same thing. So I don't think it can hurt. What I don't think is good is if you take weeks off. It's not that you don't deserve the time off, but someone in our community recently said, nobody looks at the dates. I look at the dates. If I go to someone's profile and the last time they posted was a month ago, I'm just like, well, they're not very active with their art. And so I do make a judgment call on that. So I don't think you have to post every day, but two or three times a week, I think, is minimum.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Leslie. And good for you for expanding. I think you'll be great. You'll be great. Yay. Okay. Melinda, you have some questions here. I'm going to summarize because it was long. So I'm going to summarize. Mm-hmm. You are building an online business. You're not interested in galleries. Your main model is online, aiming for remote, more passive business. Mm-hmm.
That's the aim.
And when you say passive, you mean passive income or
passive as in compared to, you know, just 100% original artwork. I'm gonna have prints and things like that.
Reproductions. Yes. Okay. But so when we say passive business, we think, oh, I'm not going to have to do much work. That's not what you're saying. No. You're saying, yeah, gotcha. Okay. All right. Just want to clarify that language. Yes. Okay. So your offerings are online prints, original art, commissions, and potentially more in the future. Mm-hmm. You're planning a summer open studio event, if possible. That's going to be there in Portugal in real life. Okay. Yeah. Great. So your plan, and you asked for my feedback, and this is really useful for everyone, is email newsletter monthly for personal and then another one for business. So two email newsletters, one weekly post to social media. You just heard my answer about that, so we don't need to go into that. Social media, restart Pinterest for visibility and link to website or newsletter. Pinterest isn't social media, but yes, it's a great idea. So for everyone listening, Pinterest is a search engine. Should not be, it's not social media. People don't really interact there, but it's the number three search engine behind Google and YouTube. So it's not a bad place to be, especially if you enjoy Pinterest. And I really like that. I would suggest a full-blown strategy around Pinterest, like really figuring out the darn thing and how it all works. You know, I mean, you used to be able to just kind of pin anything, and now there's all these like fancy, images and graphics, but people buy from Pinterest. So you said link to perhaps your newsletter and website or newsletter, You're going to link to your products on Pinterest, specific products.
Yeah, because it's not available in Portugal. It's only for certain countries. Yeah,
gotcha. Okay. So, but I like the addition of Pinterest because it's such a powerful search engine. And I'm not by any means an expert on Pinterest, but it has been on my list to revisit for so long. I just don't have the bandwidth for it. Yeah. But I like, especially if you enjoy it. There was someone here that was talking about using Pinterest. Was there someone else here? Okay. I'm confused. All right. And then you said in-person friends and friends. I like that too. My question is, why two newsletters? Can you combine those?
Well, my personal one, you know, is one I had for a few years. So to your question, I don't want to combine them per se, because like for my personal one, some, you know, it's more fluid. And I just want to reserve a little space for creativity and not like, you know, being like, okay, you know, I have to be very strategic with this content and whatnot. But it's always at the back of my mind, you know, okay. Like sometimes what can I link and all that. So for my art list, that is very specific, nurturing relationship, long term. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I always want to make things easier for people. And I want everyone to know that people who are interested in your art are interested in how you are an artist every day. So if they can combine, and you're telling, and you're telling stories about your art there anyway, you know, maybe in the future they can come together if you see that room for that. If you are looking, so here's my last piece of advice. If you're looking for online business, you're in stiff competition. You know that, right? You know that it's a really crowded place. So I would look at hashtags, like what is your hashtag strategy? And that all relates to who's going to buy your art. Where are you going to find those people, and how are they going to find you? What are you going, like, who's going to be most interested in your art? And then, this is related to the 31 people list, but it might be like meta from your niche market. Like when you define who that niche market is, you might like really go deep with that and then look into those hashtags and outreach, you know, following them and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes. That does. Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
I hope so. You're in our community now. So if you have any questions, just ask and follow up. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Melinda.
Thank you.
All right. Mary, I got you here. You have two questions, the difference between a blog and the newsletter. And Melinda gave you a great answer for this, but I want to be sure that I answer. And thank you for watching the video from the past that's already in the Learning Center vault about that. I said a blog is pull, whereas a newsletter is push. And what I mean by that is the blog has to attract people because it just sits there, but the newsletter, someone signed up for it and you just send them stuff, right? So the blog has to attract people. I happen to know that you are interested in teaching, and I know that not everyone, I don't recommend blogs for every artist, but if you are going to want to attract students, I do recommend blogs. And that's because you can show off your expertise in them. But that doesn't mean that they don't coincide. You can use some of the same, you know, you can email the people your blog posts. So they can be similar, or it can be part of your newsletter. It's just a different format. So if you're going to have a blog, you're looking at SEO strategy. I don't want you to get too deep into SEO strategy, because otherwise you write really boring articles that just write for it. I hate writing for SEO. Like, that's just really awful. I want you to write from the heart. So, and Eve has a blog. Who else here has a blog? Lisa and Melinda, and you all put your blog URLs in the chat, would you please? So that Mary can see them. And then if you teach also, would you put that in there? Your blog, if you teach and have a blog, would you put that in there, please?
Can I just confirm with you then? It's not like either or. I can have both, but there would be overlap.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Because you don't want to create. Really, is that a newsletter is someone has asked to receive it, whereas a blog is just there and I'm trying to get eyes on it.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Right. And I can't remember what I was going to say, but yes, absolutely. In terms of connections, does it make sense for a complete art biz beginner like me to just focus on getting more Instagram followers? And as opposed to what?
Well, because during the session that we had and I was thinking about it, I'm not yet, like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be tending towards teaching. That makes sense right. for me, given my background. But I don't know exactly how, like, what type of students I would approach specifically, because over the past 20 years, I've been doing art consistently, but it's been more of a therapeutic practice. So I never tried, to do all this gallery stuff. And, I'm interested, maybe I will, but I'm wondering, maybe I should focus more on, like therapeutic communities, without going into great detail, but, focus my teaching towards that type of student. Or maybe it's just going to be like cold wax, all cold wax. I adore cold wax. Let me show you about cold wax, because I do. I can say I'm addicted to cold wax. I love it. And so I'm not sure yet. And so I'm kind of like, well, I don't want to go all whole hog, because I can tend to get obsessed about things. But I don't want to do that until I'm certain. And so I'm thinking, well, gosh, maybe I should just, somebody mentioned Instagram, and her, clearly she had the thing. It's like, oh, do I need to do Instagram? I mean, I don't like Instagram. And so if I'm going to make an effort, I'd like it to make at least sense, because if I have to do Instagram, okay, I can do it, but I don't know. I just like your impression as to where I should focus that. I mean,
so I'm going to ask my question again, and I want you to answer it a different way. Okay. If not Instagram, what? How are you going to find people if not Instagram?
I don't know. That's my only idea.
Right. Okay. So I hate for people to pick up something that they say they don't like, because you're not going to be good at it unless you can find a way to appreciate it and like it. I just believe that with all my heart. So unless you can find some good in it, I also picked up on you using the word certainty. You're never going to be certain about any step that you make. So like really, I don't know you well enough, but I have had conversations with other artists. They're like, I want to know that this is going to work. It might not work. It just might not. And that's why I wrote the blog, did the podcast episode recently about the sphere and the padded room. Like, this is you in your studio, like in your life every day. You're bouncing around from place to place. Some things work and you go forward, and then it doesn't work and you go backwards. So it just happens. So I wonder if you might think of Instagram as a testing ground. Like, this is where I go to play. This is where I'm just testing things out. And I'm sure you can delete anything you want on Instagram later, but I'm just kind of testing it out and seeing what people respond to. But I don't think you should. I think you should decide what you want to teach, and don't leave that up to the fates, to do that.
Okay. I think first on my website and my teaching direction, and not worry so much for now about connections.
Well, you can always connect to people, but I don't think you should ask your connections what you should teach. By the time you get your website up and your teaching up, you're like, oh crap, I forgot my audience. Who's going to buy this now? So that's why it doesn't hurt to be building. That's why like Melinda came on to the People Plan without having the body of work, because I encourage her, like, it helps to get your people, you know, organized and stuff before you need them, before you really need them. So I don't think it hurts, but I think we might need to work on finding a way for you to enjoy it.
Okay. All right.
And there is a, I think there is a way, like, you know, here's what happened yesterday. I'm getting goosebumps, but I've been kind of absent from social media. And yesterday afternoon, I was like, I really want to go connect with artists on Insta. Like, I really miss, because I've been so into this week, that I was just so grateful it was there, that I could go and see what everyone was up to. So, I don't know. We can work on that, Mary.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind, because I think you're right that it's important to like it, and I haven't been able to develop that yet, but I can try.
Some aspect of it, or as I like to say, or the results you get from it. Like, would you like it more if you had your follower signing up for classes?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. That. All right. We'll work on it. Thank you, Mary. I'm going to answer Peggy's question. She's not able to be here. She said that she, today in my newsletter that I sent out earlier, I posted Laura Petrovich Cheney's Instagram post, and she noticed that Laura had Linktree. How many people here use Linktree? Okay. All right. So she was wondering why this over a direct link to your website. I'm going to answer how I would answer it. And then if you all have anything to add, if you would put it in chat, that would be really helpful. I don't use Linktree, so I can't speak to Linktree. I have a social media page on my website that acts like, I think, Linktree acts. It has multiple links on there. So the reason that you, first of all, you never link to your homepage on your website, because as I like to say, their homepage is the most boring page on your whole website. So link to something interesting in, you know, your portfolio page or your about page or something. If you have one link and you don't have Linktree, or, you know, just don't send people to your homepage, because then they have to figure out where to go from there, right? There's a whole menu and they don't know where to go. So people use Linktree so that they can have multiple links. Here's the link to my class. Here's the link to my portfolio. Here's the link to my show coming up. Here's the link to contact me. So that's what, or, you know, maybe their latest post has a recommendation. Like, I recommend this book. It'll have a link to someone else's book. So it's a way for you to change your links really quick and to have multiple links, because Instagram only allows one link. I think two now, because I think you can have your Threads link in there, but I always see, but it's one definitive link that you can decide on. So that's why people use Linktree. Did I miss anything? Did anyone put anything in chat that I missed? Yeah. I think we got it all. So I think I just answered your question, Paige. Hopefully that was helpful. All right. Here is my question. Mandy and then Sandy. Mandy, do you want to unmute yourself?
Hi.
Hi.
So I had two questions. One was, you had mentioned in that mailing list homework we had about having a pop-up, and I had gotten rid of my pop-up in the website because somebody said don't. you know, like everybody has different opinions, but you said something about a generous, what was your
term? Delay. Yeah,
and I wondered what that meant. What, how much time do you think is generous?
At least 30 seconds, you know, okay. don't give me some time to at least look at your website before you ask me to sign up for something.
Okay.
But I would say 30 to 60 seconds. I have my pop-up and I actually don't really know exactly how wonderfully this works, but I have my pop-up set. There's all kinds of settings on my pop-up that like it, only supposed to go to an ISP, a specific ISP. Do you all know what an ISP? Your ISP is your, not your ISP, your address, your internet address. It's not your ISP, but your internet, not your internet service provider. It's your address, your IP address. Thank you very much, Lisa and Melinda. It's your IP address. And I have it just to go, if someone logs into my site twice a week, it's only supposed to pop up for that person twice in 1 week. And then I have like, it doesn't pop up on these pages, or it pops up only if they visit these pages. So I'm trying to be really specific about when something pops up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it works. Sometimes I go, oh my God, it's popping up all over the place. What's wrong? But I try to be really specific and generous. And I think mine's a 30 second delay. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then, excuse me. And then you mentioned, can I go ahead and ask my second question?
Mm-hmm.
It's further down. You mentioned yesterday that open rates aren't accurate anymore because of bots. But what I wondered is, I look to see who opened it. Like, oh, are they still interested? Is that accurate?
I don't think so.
You don't?
No, I don't think so. And I don't know the specifics, but someone else here might know better than I do, but I don't want to get into this. I don't want it to be a rabbit hole that we go down, but I think that there are those bots, like Gmail and whatever, have these bots that, and depending on where you get your email, that might open things to see if it's spam and where to put it in your folders. So there's something that just says it's just not accurate. It's not like, you cannot rely on it 100% these days.
Okay.
And I don't know if unopens are accurate. Like maybe unopens are more accurate than opens. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I just know not to trust them completely these days.
Well, it's good.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. This has been so helpful.
I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm so glad. Thanks for being here, Mandy.
I have a long list of to-dos.
Awesome. Hopefully, just prioritize them so you don't get overwhelmed. One step at a time. Okay. Thank you, Mandy. Sandy and then Laurie.
Hello. I feel like I'm kind of sneaking this in. One of my people goals is to connect with more people locally, because a lot of people around me don't know what I do. Like my collectors are. So I'm organizing an art walk in my neighborhood, and I've got a ton of interest, and I'm hosting the initial meeting tonight. I think it should be on Thursday. Some people want it to be on a Friday. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about, like, I've had good success with Thursday openings and open studios. Do you have any thoughts about like what evenings work best?
No, depends on what else is going on in your community.
Yeah.
And what I always tell people is organize something that works for you. Because you're not going to make everyone happy. It's like when we set out our schedule, our community schedule, we try our best, and that's 4 p.m. Eastern time seems to be able to hit most, you know, late in Europe, but early in Australia. And, you know, we just can't make everyone happy. And so I just say, this is specific to an open studio. Like if you're scheduling an open studio, do what works for you. But if you have to deal with a bunch of other people, you have to.
I wanted you to say Thursday so I could say my art coach told me it was Thursday.
Thursday works great.
Thank you, Allison.
Yeah, you're welcome. I always tell people to say, Allison told me. Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. You have my permission to say that.
Thank you. Do that all the time.
Thank you. Thanks, Donna. Okay. All right. Are you good, Sandy? Okay. All right. Laurie and then Linda.
Hi, Allison. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, good. Here's my question. I have approached a lot of galleries and gotten representation in a couple and had lots of really lovely rejections, really complimentary. And I was wondering if it would be weird for me to put those rejections on my people list. Like those gallerists just, oh, I saw this and thought of your gallery, or wanted you to know I have a new collection. Would that be weird? Too pushy?
I always say when someone says no, they say no. But if, you know, if it is, I would show, are they local?
Some of them, but not all of them.
So I think the best thing you can do is show up for those people. Like show up at be seen at their shows and supporting their artists and their programs. Okay. And then if you do that, then you can send them a postcard with your new work on it and say, oh, I really enjoyed this show.
You
know, great opening. I mean, that's a way to stay in touch with, and show your support, because you're probably not going to talk to them while you're there, but you put in some time and maybe someone will introduce you. Also meet their artists.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks, Laurie. Linda. Hi.
Hi, Allison.
Hi. How can I help?
Okay, so I had two questions. I worked with you quite a while ago, and it's great to reconnect. But I have your 2008 edition of your book. I'm just wondering if I should get the 2019 Kindle version.
That's what you're wondering. Yeah, that's your question. No, that you don't need it. I mean, it's different for sure, because I think in that edition, I got Facebook mentioned in there just under the wire. Mm-hmm. And the only reason Facebook was mentioned is one of the founders' mothers came to my workshop in Florida. She said, have you heard about Facebook? And I'm like, no. So there's like one mention of Facebook in there. So the newer editions are very different. I will tell you that, and this isn't a sales thing, but if you join our community, if you join the Essentials program, it's in there. Like you can just download it.
Oh, great.
So, are you looking for anything specific? I have the ideas for the newsletter.
Yes, blog that was it. Uh-huh.
It's in your edition too.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
My second question,
probably changed, you know, I probably tweaked it a little bit, but it'll give you plenty of ideas.
Oh, great. Thank you. So my second question is responding on social media. I've just committed to being more regular with my posting. I hired a social media person who's really great and supportive. And she's suggesting in the post, part of this is about social media posts that show my cat and show me, you know, like picking lemons or, you know, so it's not because I've just been showing my art, showing art that I like, showing myself at art openings or, you know, videos of an art show. And I'm just wondering what you thought about that, you know, just make me more of a human than just like an artist.
I just want to see your art. I don't care about you picking lemons, but unless the lemons end up in your artwork, you know, I mean, to me, I follow you because you're an artist. Now, if you can make that post really interesting, and here's another thing, like test it out. Mm-hmm. it could be that your cat gets the most or your dog gets the most responses, but are those the people? Is that the response that you're looking for? You want people to respond to your art, not to the lemons or the dog. But she's right that it shows you as a whole person. I kind of want those things to be in your stories. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you save your, you know, maybe you make a collection of, you know, about me stories that, you know, show your whole life. But you can test them out and then you can just delete them if they don't work. But I want to see your art. Like if I go to someone's an artist feed and I have to scroll to look for their art.
Not good.
Yeah. I don't follow them. Like I'm like, that's not what I want. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Thanks. And I was thinking of like, say, having the People Monday. That's such a great idea for me. It's a perfect day. So then I would also have it social media posting day, and I do have buffer, something that I can plan the posts.
Right.
But I'm wondering in terms of responding. I mean, I get all excited and I go, look at, I like that person. And so, you know, like half an hour goes by and I'm like all distracted. And I'm just wondering, how do you, you know, organize your time for the responding to people?
Put a timer, set a timer. Yeah, I don't do that because I don't have that problem. So, but I know some people do just set a timer and just say, I'm just going to just 15 minutes. It's like sometimes my husband and I do this at the grocery store. Okay, we're going to be in and out of here in 20 minutes, you know, just to get it done rather than to lollygag around the grocery store. So, you know, just kind of maybe play a game with yourself. And then if you have more time and you just like, oh, I just want to veg and look at people's Instagram, then allow yourself to do it. But when you're pressed for time, just like, this is all I got.
Thank you so much.
Because yeah, you can really go to that link and that link and that link and watch that cat video and that cat video. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. You good? I'm so glad you're back. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. So Lisa had a question. Lisa had a question, and I think Elizabeth has a question. So you all may not have been here when I was asking for hands raised at the beginning for people who had questions. So, and there's so many comments in chat that I can't see all the questions. So Lisa, what's your question?
My question was about approaching curators. Hi.
Hey, there you are. Okay. Yes.
Yes. So how would you suggest I cold approach curators? Because I'm kind of intimidated by them for like a museum kind of situation.
What do you want from them?
I want them to know that I'm there and consider me when they're doing a figurative portrait like show.
Okay. And so I would, there's a couple ways. Well, so first of all, are they curators at museums, independent curators, art centers, all of the above?
It's mainly museums.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a member of the museums?
Yes.
Okay. So I would, you know, always say join the museum, and I would say show up for their stuff, show up for their artist talks. If they give a talk, show up for that, introduce yourself. But you can also put them on a postcard list, and you can invite them to your studio.
Okay.
But I would, you know, follow them. I would see what they're talking about. I would try to join their conversations, see where they're publishing, what they're publishing and so forth, and just try to insert yourself into that conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a your relationship building from the bottom up and just, you know, one step at a time. And what your request is very specific, but they need to know about your work, Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the art rental and sales portion of it, but it's sort of divided up so that it's like more the public gallery part. And then there's the art rental sales part. So, you know, I don't want to be dismissed as like, you know, like a certain category when I would like to be in both categories. So, I have one more question if it's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
How much should I prioritize updating my website? Because it's embarrassingly out of date as far as like the design of it, but
also way up there. Way up there.
Way up there. Okay.
Yeah. Way up there because it's the first place that the curator would go.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And even if they go to your Instagram, they would say, you know, they still want to see like how, like your about, your bio, your resume. They would still want to see the whole you. They're not going to get that on Instagram. So this is your, you know, virtual space that you own. Yeah, it should, if you want to send people there, you should prioritize it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you.
No, that's fine. No apology necessary.
Yeah. If you're going to send people there, you should prioritize it.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. And I need to get to Elizabeth, before I get to you, I need to get to the other Laurie. I had two Lauries. I need to get to the Laurie without the E on the end. Laurie, do you have a question?
I do. I had a couple questions actually. So my first one, I had just sent out a batch of applications for corporate art buyers. And I'm kind of wondering what follow-ups for that situation might look like, because a lot of the time, you know, you're sending it to a generic email address with a generic application. And so I'm not really sure how to cultivate a relationship from something like that.
Where did you get a list of corporate art buyers?
Oh, I sat down and spent hours just Googling places that I thought would be good fits. And if they were asking for submissions, filled out there.
Okay. Okay. It's amazing. There's not that many corporations collecting art these days. So kudos.
No, for like businesses that place artwork for both corporations, residential, hospitality. Oh,
art consultants. Yeah, art consultants. Sorry. Those are two different things.
Sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay. Yeah, that's just something you just want to keep those people warm. So you want to say, you want to just keep feeding them your new work. So okay. You've told them that you have this work. When you have more new work, say, just, you know, you can email them and say, I just uploaded new work into my available spot. It's good for, you know, it's ranges in size from this to this. It's abstract, you know, primary okay. colors or whatever it is. Kind of describe it before, and then link directly to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then my second question, and this is kind of silly, but so I sell a lot of my work in person, at art fairs, and I have been terrible over the last like 4 years when people say like, oh, I really love this. I'd like it for my second home. I'm just not ready to buy yet. And I need specific verbiage for, you know, the follow-up of that's great. Get more information from them and then get contact information for them. So I can kind of be steering the follow-up.
Do you,
I think a lot of the
do you ask them to be on your list?
Yes. I think what I'm more I'm more interested in getting a phone number for them,
right.
Getting an email for them or getting a mailing address for them. So I can be more like intimately in contact with them than just mailing.
So you could say, instead of asking them to be on your general email list, you could say, would you like to be the first to know when I have new work available? And okay. just, I have this private, you could say, I have this private list.
Okay.
And then just make it sound kind of exclusive. And it, okay. and it should be like one-on-one, you know, follow up with them. Does that okay. make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that okay. very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Laurie. Elizabeth Kenahan.
Hello.
Hi. How are things down there?
Oh, things are great. Yeah, things are great.
She's in the other part of the state.
Yeah, I'm in the, by the Four Corners area.
Yeah.
And I am really interested in reaching out to interior decorators in the state of Texas.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to, a lot of the answers you've already given to other people about, you know, these kinds of things have helped. But I want to just send a postcard with a piece, but I'm not sure if there's other or, you know, better ways to cold contact somebody that you essentially want something from, you know?
Yeah. So first of all, difference between decorators and designers, just be really clear on that. And don't call, you can call decorators designers, but don't call designers decorators. Okay. Mm-hmm. So just, and then some of them are using the word, the phrase interior architects these days. So just know that also. I think a postcard is good. And I think actually an available for commissions is, because I think, you know, you would love to sell the stuff that you've already painted, but, and that's what you're going to promote. But I also think a designer might want to commission you as well. But I think postcards are good. I like postcards for that. But you can, so and here's the thing, you don't, it's not an either or. Postcards, 2 months, designer, I mean, email. And then, and say, I don't know if you remember, but I sent a postcard a couple months ago and just wanted to let you know that I put new work on my site, you know, just kind of go back and forth with that.
Okay.
Did you get a list of them?
You know, I've only just started. This was one of my ideas that I got from day one of your, of this workshop. And so I was like, ooh, I should start looking into that, you know?
Okay.
But it's similar with galleries. I've been reaching out to galleries lately too. And I keep thinking, you know, when someone, when one of the galleries says, we really like your work, we're really interested, we have some ideas, but then there's just, they never get back to me. I'm like, how do I reinitiate that conversation? Maybe I should just send them a postcard of something new.
Absolutely. And email them again.
Yeah.
Stay in touch. Keep your art in front of them, because someone else is going to come between the two of you.
For sure.
Right. If you don't.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Elizabeth. Good to see you.
You too.
Hey, Leah, I think has a question, but just a second. I need you all to raise your hands if you have a question, because I there's so much in chat that I can't see your questions. So if you go to the reactions button and click on the hand raise thing, and then I can see you all, like all in a line, and I can answer. That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Okay, Donna, and then Rachel, and then Leah, and then Doug. David, and then Doug. Okay, Donna, go ahead.
I joined the community, I wanted to know whether I can ask some questions, just see these type of questions in the community. I'm not sure necessarily.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't really want to take time away from people who haven't had to do, haven't done that. And because my situation is completely different.
Right. I understand. Yeah. Go ahead and ask them in there.
Okay, so I can ask questions about the other programs that you have and that kind of thing. Okay, all right, I'll do that.
Well, or you could email me if they're about programs that I have and you're wondering where you fit in. Then you email me about that.
Okay, I'll email you.
Okay, yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Thank you,
Rachel, and then Leah.
Hi, I just want to follow up with the interior designer question. So, what I've come across trying to create a list is that every time you go to these, you know, it used to, their emails would be on their websites, and I don't see that anymore. It's usually a contact thing that pops up and you have to write them and that sort of thing. So I have found it really hard to find how to reach them. Just wondered how to do that. And same with our consultants.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, you know, you might have to do email or their contact form. You just have to work with what you have. Sometimes in interior designers, you can find their addresses in design magazines. You used to be able to, at least, like the design magazine Lux, L-U-X-E, that's in large metropolitan areas. Mm-hmm. I know someone that used to find their designer list from Lux magazine, but who knows if they're still doing that. I'm not sure. But I would also reach out to it in your community. Now, Elizabeth's in a little bit of a different situation because she's not in Texas. She's in Colorado. So if you're in your community, you can say, do you know, ask all your friends, do you know any interior designers? Here's what I want to be clear about with interior designers. Most interior designers that I know of, there's always exceptions. There's tons of exceptions. Buy their artwork from design showrooms. They don't know about the art world. So it really works better if you have like a one-on-one relationship with that person. That Karen Ola, who was a former assistant of mine, sells a ton of art through her mother-in-law, who's an interior designer. And so just know, like, building that relationship with that someone's going to probably yield better results. There is a interview that I did on my podcast with Jan McCarthy. So if you are interested in interior designers, listen to that interview with Jan McCarthy. I'm going to put that, I'll put that link with the replay of this. But just FYI, she talked about the like inviting interior designers over for donuts. I think it was something very sweet and something that I would never think of to have people over for, but something, some sweet breakfast treat. And
the second part to that question was, I've always wondered how many people really enjoy using them, just because I've had a few instances where they take your work, they buy it for a certain, or they take it and then they like quadruple your sale price.
Okay, so don't let that happen. All right, so that's something I would watch out with our consultants also. Our consultants can do that too. So I would say you have a wholesale price and a retail price. If someone sells your work, they sell it at the retail price.
But how do you
control? They can't. You tell, it's in your contract. Like, that's just what you do. You say, I'll work with you. And this is what I want, and this is what you have to sell it for. Because if you're doing that, you're not controlling your prices. You have no idea what, you know, that's not fair for you to get a quarter of the price that they sell it for. So yeah, it's just in your contract with them. Like, this is what you give me, this is what you have to sell it for.
Okay.
It's in your contract.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll back you up on it, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thanks. Leah and then Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering, when I signed up with this, I had taken your workbook and started working through it a couple of weeks back and realized that I had an absolute ton of social media contacts that I had no idea how many I have.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's been in the back of my mind for a year or two that I really need to get disciplined and organized and start putting out a newsletter. And so I did some workshops on, you know, newsletters and stuff like that. And I have a pretty good idea what to put in a newsletter, but the other day in the discussions in yesterday or the day before, I heard something that gave me a bit of pause. And that was that, and I don't know if I misheard it or what, but what I heard was, don't try to track your
social media followers,
which fair enough, because that's not in your control anyway. But if I want to convert them from followers,
you just ask them. Just every once in a while, I'm going to cut to the chase because we're getting into time. You ask every once in a while in a post, you say, I'm sending out my email newsletter and this is what's in it. Make sure that you're on it. Here's how to subscribe. And then make sure that that's in your link tree or that that is really clear on the website link that you put in Instagram. So every once in a while, you just ask. And don't be surprised if nobody does it because nobody signs up for email these days. You know, there are all kinds of incentives you can give, but maybe just people just love the work so much. They want to be sure that that they hear from you. So you need to give them a reason to sign up, but you can keep asking them. Not every post, but every, well, you know, a couple times a month.
That, but I, the question that was on my mind was, if nobody signs up for newsletters, is there a point to doing one anymore? Or did I just miss that boat?
Yeah, there will be people that sign up for newsletters. There will be your friends and family and other artists, and don't discount those people because they know 150 other people. So yes, and the other reason that you should do a newsletter is because it's really good discipline for you. It makes you write, it makes you think about the work and how you want to present it to people. It's just a nice habit to be in. Like, this is how I connect with people. It's a space that where you can control the message and how it looks and everything. But you can do it quarterly if you want. You don't have to do it every month. Other month. You can do it.
I was thinking six times a year, every other month.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, the mechanics of that, of doing it and the process for doing it are clear. That was just sort of gave me pause the other day because I was like, well, wait a minute. If nobody signs up for newsletters,
I always say that. I say that all the time. They do sign up when there's a reason to sign up. If they want, like, if you give them something good, and I don't mean just something free, but if you have good content, they're like, oh, I can't wait to get Leah's email. Like, I always like opening Leah's email. So,
okay. I'm a big fan of newsletters. I mean, I've been following you on your newsletter for like 3 years, 4 years now. And, you know, so I really like newsletters because they give me my,
your news.
They give me my news and it gives me at a time that I can actually be there and be present for it, you know? So
yeah,
I really like receiving them and I'm thinking, yeah, that would work for me as far as marketing.
Good. Oh, good. Let us know how it goes, Leah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. David and then Doug.
Let's see. Unmute.
Hey, David. Hello. How can I help?
I was just notified that my hosting site is considering my website as a legacy site, and they're no longer servicing it.
Oh.
So okay. I've gone back to them and I said, okay, so how much will you charge me to take my existing site and put it into your new programs? Then they won't do it. So now I'm looking at Wix or WordPress or Adobe Express, Shopify, GoDaddy, whatever. And if I want to do business, I have to redo my site because it's all based on advertising and marketing instead of my art.
Right.
So I want to flop it. But I also want to be able to sell from it. So do you have a recommendation on which way to go?
I actually do.
That's why I asked.
I actually suggest that you go with Squarespace.
Squarespace.
Uh-huh. And or Fazo. Fazo is a good one also. But there's so many artists using them that you would get really good, you know, feedback and support with other artists. You can sell from Squarespace. You can, if you start using Artwork Archive, you can embed your Artwork Archive into Squarespace. There's so many, and I kind of help one artist. Every once in a while, I'll just like go into her website because she's been a private client forever. I'm like, oh, this needs to be fixed on Carmen's website. So I'll run in there and fix something. And I just find it real easy to do. I use WordPress. I would not recommend WordPress to anyone who doesn't like really want to blog, because WordPress was started as a blogging site. And there's so many hacks that are needed for you to figure out WordPress that I would suggest. I think Squarespace is easier, it's more intuitive, and there's a lot more artists on it these days.
Well, that's the price of the admission for this whole seminar then.
There you go. That's awesome. But also look at Fazo. A lot of artists like, is anyone here on Fazo? Elsa and Leslie and Cindy, and you all like it very much. Yeah. And who here is on Squarespace? Just one? Wow. That is like not, that is not, a good sampling. Elizabeth, are you on Squarespace? Elizabeth's on Squarespace. Anyone else? Okay. All right. So maybe look at those two. There's nothing wrong probably with anything else, but I see most artists on those two probably.
Yeah, because I'm on the Adobe Creative Cloud and they have Adobe Express.
Yeah.
And the what I want to do is just migrate the site and then fly.
Yeah, you can't do that. I don't think you can do that.
There's been a couple that said that they can, but I doubt it.
I did. Yeah, not if it's a legacy site. I very much doubt that they can.
Yeah. Okay.
So, well. But it's a good opportunity for you. And I think I've been to your site. So it does need updating. You're right that it does need updating. And this is a great opportunity for you to figure out exactly what you need. But I would look at both of those because you might just go, oh, Allison said like her initial answer was Squarespace, but Fazo is really good. And Fazo has been around forever. And I love Clint Watson at Fazo. And, you know, there's real people behind Fazo.
Fazo is spelled what?
F-A-S-O. It's Fine Art Studio Online. And, but they just are known by Fazo. Cindy, do you want to say something real quick?
Just wanted to say that Fazo is also, they integrated with Squarespace. So you can have that as part of your Fazo account.
You can?
Yes.
That's new. That's new and different. Interesting. Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. Welcome. I'm glad to know that. There you go. You don't have to decide.
Thank you all.
Yeah. Is that all you need, David?
For now.
That was a loaded question, huh?
I'm working on a lot of stuff at once.
Okay. All right. I think I have an email in my inbox that needs answering from you, but I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Doug and then Margaret Ann.
Okay. I just have kind of a technical question. I think you, with the people page and finding your people, you seem to indicate that there's a number of lists that you keep to kind of record your mailing list and your VIPs and so on. Does a program like MailChimp offer enough locations to sort of place people in there, or you have to do those outside?
So you may have missed this part, but when I first started that section, I said, there's never going to be one place that you can put everyone, because MailChimp, you just want your email subscribers, the people who have opted into your list, you want in MailChimp. You don't want to put anyone else in there. I mean, I guess you could technically and just not email them, but I wouldn't. But that's why, you know, that's why we went over the spreadsheets, Notion, like other places, less annoying CRM for your VIPs, something, and Artwork Archive for VIPs also. We talked about that, but there's never going to be just one single place.
So you tap into those lists to send out specific emails.
Or postcards, or, you know, all those, or call them. So there's, but you just, the VIP list is one-on-one. It's like not, you're not going to be bulk emailing them. So that's why they're separate from there. And you want to track those relationships more. You want to have the flexibility that probably MailChimp doesn't allow for you to put the notes, for you to sort them differently, for you to like, slice and dice the people, for you to, you know, have your own fields and so forth. That's what you want for your VIP list. That's why I gave you that list of possible fields that you want for your VIPs. It had a heart behind it, but it's in the notes.
In Apple, is there a what program or what software do you use for that?
It just depends. I would. What did you say, Leah?
Okay. Sorry, I spent my previous career as a technologist, so
okay.
Go ahead. Have an answer for Doug.
Go ahead.
Okay, so in Apple, you want numbers, and on a Windows platform, you want Excel.
But that's and only what, if you want to put it in a spreadsheet.
Well, yeah, but hang on, hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Okay, so if you have, if you use MailChimp, you can export all of your MailChimp contacts and pick it up into an Excel spreadsheet or a numbers spreadsheet. If you use your Outlook and your Apple Mail, you can also export all of your contacts to a spreadsheet there as well. So what you do is you build a spreadsheet that has all the fields you want that Allison gave you the other day in Pages and Excel.
Numbers and Excel, not Pages.
Numbers and Excel. Okay. And you actually are going to go once a quarter and pull all of your contacts into that Excel spreadsheet and build a fresh spreadsheet, because it takes like 2 minutes tops to export all of your MailChimp and all of your Outlook contacts and your social media contacts, if you can get them all.
But Leah,
then you have a collated list where you can say, okay, this is where everybody is.
But Leah, but you if you're building it every quarter, you're not updating, like you're losing the updates that you made in between then. You're losing the
But when you've built the spreadsheet the first time, the next time you import the data, you can tell it to overwrite based on the matching fields.
Okay.
So it updates the spreadsheet instead of starting over every time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So that's how the technology part works.
I appreciate you bringing that to the table. So Doug, if spreadsheets are your thing, numbers would be the way to go in Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck. Thank you. Margaret Ann.
Evening.
Hi.
Allison, wide-ranging chat and very specific as well and very helpful. Thank you. What do you think about the use of room set images to display your work on Instagram or on your own website? I have a friend who has completely gone off on one with room set images. So her Instagram feed doesn't quite look like her work.
Right.
It looks like a set of interior design pictures.
Right. So with the term you're looking for is in situ, I-N-S-I-T-U, which means artwork inside of a room, like installed artwork. And so there's lots of apps out there that can do that for you. There's new ones every day. I just have one in my inbox, someone wanting me to know about their new app that does this. I think they're good. There's a place for them, but I want to see the artwork by itself. That's where I'm going to be impressed the most. So I wouldn't have it be the first image all the time. I would like, if you did a carousel, I would have it be one of the second images, and I would have it be a secondary image on your website. Like, I don't want to go to your portfolio page and see your work installed in places. I want to see the individual pieces.
I see that all your artists on their websites, they have their image and then in situ image, both on the click through page.
And that's fine. It's just I don't want to see only the in-situ works. Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to see and have people be able to imagine the work in their site, but I mean, in their home or office or whatever. And it's nice to be able to show it, but I want to see the artwork. This is my, like, You know, I'm used to like a big open art history book and I want to see the artwork. It's not in people's homes. It's, you know, or galleries.
Can I add something to that?
Sure, Elsa, real quick.
Okay, very quickly. On FASO, the website, one of my clients actually used Room View, where they can take the image of my art in their own house through their phone and actually put it on the wall to see if they like it or not.
Yeah.
So FASO has that available, if anybody's interested to know that. And
right. So you have to tell your client, not that that's bad. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the clients can put it specifically in their home. You're not using like someone else's staged.
Exactly. Rooms. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if somebody wants great. Out the work and they don't like, you know, I often say, yes, please take it, have a look and then bring it back. But this woman said, no, I don't want to, I want to see it. I said, so I showed them how to use the app and they did it and they bought the painting. So I'm just saying.
Oh, that's awesome. Really,
yeah. Yeah. It's a good
thank
feature.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. I know there's other apps that do that. It's nice to know that FASO does that too.
Yeah.
Honestly, FASO, I've been associated with FASO for almost 20 years when Clint was just starting out. So it's nice to see it evolve and still around and artists loving it. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. We use art rooms mostly.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. For the in-situ photos. Yes. Yeah. And the FASO thing that she's talking about is a website. So that's what she's talking about. Are you good, Margaret Ann? Okay. Thank you. Alana.
Hi. Thank you for your generosity with all these.
Oh, it's fun. I love firing rounds.
Thank you. So I had a question that dovetailed on another one that had to do with designers and pricing. I had two questions, but quickly, I have a neighbor who's a designer, and she asked me, she wanted to bring someone to the studio. I'm part of a collective. Mm-hmm. So with my collective, when we have events, they take 20%. And so I'm looking at a sliding scale. I want to have clarity in responding to her about the rates with designers. Mm-hmm. If she just brings someone in, I was thinking, and I do the selling, but she just refers them over, maybe like 10%. Whereas if she comes in and she's handling the sale, it's 50. If it's part of an event, I don't want to make it complicated, but if it's part of an event and my studio is taking 20%, then that has to be
right. Figured.
So I'm just wondering if it's appropriate to have like tiered levels according to how active.
Sure. That makes sense. Okay. I mean, referrals can be, like it's something that if it's a referral, like if she continues to feed you, then you want to start giving her more than 10%, obviously. But yeah. And you can have that conversation with her. Say, this is what I was thinking and why I was thinking it. I would think you would want to give them more than 10% for a referral. I mean, I'm thinking of affiliate fees. And I think that 20% would be the lowest I would go on that. You want to encourage people to bring people okay. over. So
that's helpful.
And wouldn't you be happy to pay someone 20% if you sold a $1,000 painting?
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's a, you know, I may get in touch personally, but I'm wondering, I feel like I have some blind spots, you know, within maybe how I'm setting up the space and also my materials in order to fill in the gap between someone being interested in work and the actual follow-up. And I feel like it really connects with this conversation about relationships. But I'm wondering if there's a particular program that you have that would help with filling in the gaps and have like personal feedback.
Let's talk about that. Can you email me? You got my
sure.
email? Email yeah. me so that I don't have to remember to write it down. Email me yeah. and I'll be in touch.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Alana. Appreciate it. Debbie, and if anyone put anything in chat that I haven't seen, raise your hand and let me know. I just hate to to miss someone, even though we've gone over the 75 minutes, I really want to get to everyone. Debbie, go ahead.
Well, so hopefully this will be quick. Despite the temporary disaster behind me, I'm a minimalist. And so I'm following up on this in situ photo idea. So when I look at those sort of environments, I want to put my work into very minimalist rooms.
Right.
I'm also aware that most people's houses don't look like that. Right. And so I'm wondering what you should think. Should I go with how I see it or how a more realistic idea of what my client's home might look like? Although I don't really know either. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I would just do a variety. I would just kind of mix it up. And I would think that, I mean, I don't have any problem with you doing it minimalist. And I would think that anyone who didn't have a minimalist home might also appreciate it, and it might be more aspirational for them. And that's not a bad thing. So just as long as you think it looks good, but there's a variety in there. And I don't mean like for the same image, like I don't mean like put one in three different places, but you could put it in a couple different rooms, but you know, your time is limited. So do whatever you think looks best.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Debbie. Good question. Oh my gosh. Anything else? Does anyone have anything else? I am so excited for, I mean, it's so great that you all were here today. There's always fewer on these calls, but you all stayed around. So hopefully it was helpful. Other people's questions were helpful. And I'm really glad to that you're working on this, that you're seriously thinking about things and considering things, that you've got your people plan. Who has their people day on their calendar already? Who has it? Who's going to put their people day on their calendar after we get off the call? Okay. Okay. So just a reminder, I would love to see you in our community. That $1 offer is on our page. That will be, this replay will be there too. That also the new season is starting next week. And I just thought of this morning, some new learning modules that I want to add to it. Thanks to your questions. And we'd love to see you in there. And that $100 off is, that coupon is there as well. Again, if you have any questions about that, please always email me, Allison@artbizsuccess.com. If you have any questions about programmings or what's right for you, we'd love to talk to you. Otherwise, those of you who are in the community, I will see you in there. And hopefully the rest of you, I will see you on other programs. But read your emails from me because I've got some stuff coming up for you. Okay. All right. Take care. Have a wonderful afternoon, weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.